Chapter 4. "What does he mean?" Rec asked, voice weak. "Wynn, please." Wynn didn't meet his eyes, but her words came out strong and unapologetic. "I told you I wasn't just a sympathizer, Rec. You knew that when you escaped with me." "Yeah, but I..." Rec ran his hands through his hair. It was getting long, well past regulation length. "Is it true?" "Is what true?" Wynn looked genuinely confused, her brow and mouth twisted. It settled Rec for a moment more. Rec swallowed. That you were part of a ploy to get troopers to defect." Wynn's eyes met his, but instead of offense or anger, there was a trace of something that almost seemed like guilt. A chill crept into Rec's fingertips, numbness spreading to his palms. "Oh," he whispered. He took a step away from her. "I get it." "What? Rec, whatever you're thinking, that's not the case," Wynn tried, following after him. He stepped even further back, a hand held out to warn her away. "I get it, Wynn. Getting to know me, it was all for your mission, right? To get me to defect, to get me to talk to the other troopers, to sow the seeds of dissent." "At first," Wynn stressed, eyes creasing and lips wobbling. "Just at first. That was the mission. I won't deny it or apologize. But no matter how it started, everything else that followed was real. None of the rest of it was part of my mission, okay?" "You don't..." Rec pushed down a sob. "You don't have to lie to me, Wynn. I'm not going to turn my back on the rebellion. However you got me here, I'm here. I believe in the cause. I understand what's right. And it's all thanks to you and your mission. But you don't have to pretend to care about me anymore. I won't hold it against you." "Pretend?" Wynn nearly hissed out the word. "Rec, whatever he might have said, you know me. You know I'm not like that. How could you even think that I'd take advantage of you like that? And after we..." She broke off with a swear, shaking her head. "Listen, he's just trying to get under your skin. That's what he does. He's important to the rebellion, and I've known him for years, but that doesn't mean he isn't full of bantha shit more times than not." Rec took a few more hesitant steps back, shaking his head. "It's okay, Wynn. It is. I'm not mad. I knew you were too good for me. I knew what you did was bigger than me. I know I don't matter as much as..." Firm hands clasped Rec by the face, Wynn entering his space with a ferocious expression. "You matter, Rec." "I..." A single tear slipped from the corner of his eye. Wynn tenderly wiped the tear away with a swipe of her thumb. "Rec, how can you not know? How have I not shown you? You're everything to me. The rebellion is my cause. I will give my life to it if I have to. But I'm not trying to be a martyr. I want to survive this war. I want to see the Empire fall, and I want to hold your hand while it does and kiss you over the ashes. And when we've won, because we will, I want to take that freedom and build a life with you. Do you believe me?" Rec stared into her eyes, taking in the emotion that shone out from them. "Rec," she murmured, lips so close to his, hands kept so sweet and affectionate and just on the edge of desperate against the sides of his face. "Do you believe me?" Slowly, hesitantly, hopefully, his eyes filling with tears, Rec nodded. Wynn beamed, real and unguarded. Other things mattered, of course they did. But to Rec, Wynn was everything. Callus rubbed his hair dry, exiting the refresher. As far as hideouts went for their various missions, this was one of the better accommodations. Even if the crew of the Ghost and Callus had to share the entire suite, and Callus did end up last in line to shower. "Feeling better?" Zeb asked with a smirk, eyes leaving his sabacc guards to instead follow Callus as he crossed the room to deposit the damp towel in a designated receptacle. "Much," Callus bit out unhappily. "Was the escape through the garbage chute truly necessary?" "It truly was," Zeb simpered, "unless you wanted to end up full of blaster holes." "You do have a point. I suppose I ought to be glad it wasn't the garbage chute in a Star Destroyer, at least," Callus grumbled. "Aren't garbage chutes just garbage suits?" Zeb inquired, as he and the others playing tossed in a round of low credit bets. They stink, they ooze, and garbage gets chucked out when they're full and provides some charismatic rebels with a proper escape route. Sabine and Callus both snorted. "You want to tell him about the oddly timed compression schedule?" Sabine asked. "I'd rather discuss the menagerie of carnivorous creatures who somehow continue to live in the waste fluid despite frequent compression and evacuation." Hera paused, eyes flitting between Sabine and Callus. "You're joking." "Do I seem like the joking type?" Callus inquired dryly. "He's a real riot. Don't let the face fool you," Zeb told the others. He then laid out his cards, causing Hera and Ezra to groan. On the floor, legs positioned in a pose made for meditation, Kanan hid his smile. "How are you still winning?" Ezra demanded, as he slapped a hand to the table, shaking the credits that Zeb raked toward himself. "You're not this good at cards, Zeb." "Skill and talent, kid. Skill and talent," Zeb answered, tone oily. "You'll get it when you're older. Then again, maybe not." Callus ducked his head, obscuring his own smile. "You and Hera are sitting in front of a very reflective decorative vase," Sabine informed them casually, from where she sat on one of the beds. Slowly turning to look at the vase, Hera arched an accusatory eyebrow. "Is that so?" Ezra let out a choked sputter. You give me back my credits!" Zeb cackled and shot up from his seat, evading Ezra's swiping hands even as he stuffed his ill-gotten gains into his jumpsuit pockets. "Hey, you never said I couldn't use my eyes, kid. You didn't have to sit there. Tactical advantage and all that." Callus watched Zeb fondly, heart aching in an almost pleasant way now that he'd gotten more used to such feelings happening to him. A beep sounded from Sabine's direction. "New update," she shouted, reaching into one of her many pockets. She drew out a holocaster and immediately set to downloading the latest holonovel chapters directly to the device. "Chop, you download it too. We need a backup before the Empire tracks and censors it." Chopper let out an unusually agreeable series of beeps. "Thanks, Chop." Sabine turned an eager smile around the room. "Should we all read it together?" Hera, Kanan, and Zeb all made noises of assent, and Callus felt his body shifting into fight or flight. "No," Ezra complained. "Please, I do not need any more of this holonovel. It's going to be bad enough back at base when it's all everyone can talk about." "Ezra," Sabine wheedled. "Come on, we all want to read it." "It'd be nice to read it right away and avoid any spoilers," Hera mentioned with a hopeful smile. "Where's the harm?" Kanan agreed. "Blech," Ezra answered. "I'm so sick of you guys." "Perhaps it would be more fair to Ezra to hold off," Callus suggested carefully, each word slowly spoken. "As he isn't a fan of the work, it'd be discourteous to read it together while he's forced to share quarters and has nothing else to distract himself." Zeb made an offended noise while Sabine frowned, and Hera and Kanan both nodded agreeably, if a bit resigned. "Okay, why is Callus the only one on my side here?" Ezra demanded. "Don't question it too much, Jabba," Callus shot back, "unless you'd rather be forced to read this novel you seem so against." Ezra raised his hands. "Not questioning it, really not questioning it." "Ugh, fine," Sabine caved, sharing a mutinous look with Zeb. "But we're reading it on board when Rex gets back with the ghost and you can't stop us." "Deal," Ezra jumped to agree. Soon enough, third meal was eaten and everyone was too tired to do much more than find their places to sleep and get some much-needed rest. Callus carried a spare blanket towards an empty-looking corner, only to be stopped by a warm hand around his elbow. "Where do you think you're going?" Zeb asked. "To sleep?" Callus didn't sound as certain as he wished to sound as he vaguely gestured towards the corner of the suite. "With just a blanket?" Zeb's lips curled in disapproval. "Come on." Callus allowed Zeb to lead him towards one of the other corners, a bed mat already laid out on the floor. "You can share with me," Zeb explained, pulling Callus down to the ground. Callus tried to protest, but the words lodged in his throat, unable to come out. "Whatever you're gonna say, I'm not listening," Zeb informed him. "We've been running all over, we've completed our mission, we've got a bit before Rex can take us home. We earned some rest that ain't on a bare floor." And, just like that, Zeb had Callus stretched out on the bed mat beside him, blanket thrown over them both, a soft pillow from one of the couches shared under their heads. Callus wondered if he was dreaming or hallucinating. Maybe one of the blaster shots had actually succeeded in hitting him, and this was a near-death-induced hallucination, his brain giving him something sweet to take with him to his grave. From one of the two beds, Hera commanded the lights to dim. "Sleep," Zeb grunted, turning Callus over on his side so Zeb could spoon up behind him. Perhaps Callus should write a bed-sharing scene for Tull and Alec. The reality of it was certainly emotionally raw enough for Callus. It was both everything he wanted and everything that terrified him. He wanted to scoot closer and press himself against Zeb's chest. He also wanted to roll away and reclaim that empty bit of floor, certain he was going to reveal too much, that Zeb's superior senses would pick up on what Callus tried so hard to conceal. It was blissful. It was nerve-wracking. Despite Callus's worries, the warm, steady presence of Zeb at his back and the large hand displayed over his stomach lulled him into a doze, the shock and surprise at such a pleasant end to his day cutting through the fear that their close proximity would give Callus's feelings away. Half awake and barely aware, Callus distantly heard smug beeps and warbles cut through the dark. "Shut it, Chop," Zeb growled from behind Callus. Shifting his body closer to the rumbling source of the growl, Callus fell into a deep sleep. Author's endnotes. Callus, about to watch as the ghost crew reads his romance novel. "I need to leave immediately." Callus being manhandled into sleeping position by Zeb. On the other hand...